We're here to talk about an event supporting Palestine this Sunday at the old school. What's happening, Julian?
Well, since I talked with you 5 weeks ago, we've got a group happening in Whainaroa called Whainaroa Palestine Solidarity.
Yeah.
And we're organising an event this Sunday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. down at the old school. And it's supporting Palestine. It's a year since the current invasion of Gaza by Israel.
It was 7th of October, wasn't it? Yeah.
So we're commemorating that and showing our support by Palestine, for Palestine. We're going to start the day with a documentary film called Gaza Fights for Freedom, which was filmed in 2018 during the Marches for Freedom to the border wall between Gaza and Israel, in which over 170 people were shot. These people were totally unarmed, had no connection with Hamas, and were marching for freedom.
Mm.
The film was released in 2019, so it's looking at the context of what the present situation is in Gaza and in the West Bank of Palestine. So that's it. We can 10:15 is kickoff. We have tables where we're going to be selling merchandise, which is supporting Palestine.
So we're talking like badges?
Badges, shirts. Magnet fridge shirts, flags.
Okay.
We have local musicians who are going to perform. And we have a Palestinian woman who has a small company, a catering company called Dima Eats, who she and her family live in Kirikiriroa, and they are providing authentic Palestinian food. So there'll be kebabs, falafel, hummus, pita bread, and amazing kanafa and baklava. And that's for cash sales only.
Okay.
And that's from about 12 o'clock on. And then the event finishes at 2 o'clock. We're going to have information also about boycotting and divesting the international move for sanctions against Israel.
That's doing a lot of good work at the moment, isn't it? Like it's been reasonably effective. I mean, the war hasn't finished, but they're making gains.
I think it has had an impact on not only Israeli companies, but also big companies like McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and Coca-Cola, which has been banned from Turkey. Particularly in the Middle East and Indonesia, those boycotts have been really, really, really effective.
So the Turkey government has banned?
Yeah, has banned the importation of Coca-Cola.
Well, that's not a bad thing anyway in and of itself, is it? But, for that purpose, I understand. Yeah, okay. But also, like a lot of people have KiwiSaver these days, like investments and things like that. Not everyone in town had an investment, but now most people have KiwiSaver. So,
and one of the disturbing things is that the superannuation fund has got over $150 million dollars invested in Israeli companies that have businesses in the occupied West Palestine territories, and so there's been a big call to divest those investments as well. So that affects every pensioner in the country.
So this government's known for not really listening to people who want them to do anything different. How's that going?
Well, I just think we have to keep up the pressure. I think Winston Peters' decision to support the resolution at the United Nations at the end of September was a sign that we are having an impact. The solidarity movement with Palestine is having an impact.
Has he had a history? Do you know what his history is on that issue, like support or against?
He's held in the past. We've had the US, Australian, Canadian, like the Western bloc stance. So this was a diversion from that, and there's incredible pressure coming on Winston Peters and the government to actually change their position on that after his recent vote.
I think as we said this last time, it's become increasingly hard not to feel sympathy for the Palestinian cause over the last year. I mean, if you knew what was going on before then, you would have anyway, but we know that not everyone's aware of what's been going on, but it's becoming more and more apparent, I think.
It still distresses me, though, to see our media, whether it's TV One or whatever, and all we get is Israeli government information.
It's basically Israeli government talking points.
Exactly.
And I think that's really naive on behalf of, I don't know who's making those decisions, but we know every war that's ever been, every government is cranks up its propaganda. Like, it's just standard, and every journalist should be skeptical. They should never be publishing direct information from a government, any government,
no,
any time in any war.
No.
And to do this now, when it's so clearly lopsided, is
I was really distressed the other day where they were talking about what was going on in Lebanon this past week, where over 1,000 people have been killed now. And at that stage, there were 800, and they talked about 800 deaths in Lebanon and Israel. And and there's not one Israeli had been killed at that time. And I know there's been 8 soldiers that have been killed since they've actually physically made the incursion into southern Lebanon last night. But,
well, 8 invading soldiers.
8 invading soldiers.
Well, you'd expect something to be killed if you're invading another country.
Especially, yeah. It's a good, you know, but Lebanese people know their territory, you know, and they will protect it. But the news report just reported it as though it was like equal distribution between any death is terrible in a war, but when you kill 1,000, mostly civilians, I mean, everyone, I think, saw the devastation when Hassan Nasrallah was killed. Of a whole block of apartment buildings was destroyed in Lebanon. Mm. So, New Zealand, there are other alternatives out there, and I always suggest people go to Al Jazeera, which is on free TV. You can get it really easily.
Mm. Yeah. So now you've written about having a Q&A.
Yes.
Who's conducting the Q&A?
I'm going to be part of the Q&A, and also a gentleman by the name of Harim, who is a sociologist. Who's taught at Waikato in Auckland and also in the United States, and he's going to be speaking as well.
So he's an academic scholar, something like that?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right. So people will have, opportunity for questions.
Yes.
And also you're talking about opportunity to write to MPs, about some just advice on that, I guess?
No, what we're going to do is have bullet points of possibilities. Yeah. And we're going to have postcards there so people can just write. It's really important that people do it in their own handwriting, and not, that seems to carry more weight than if you just send an email. So we're physically going to have the postcards there, and people write on them, and then we will send them off to Parliament.
Okay, right. That's a little more proactive. If people are not going to be there, but you, do you want to give some advice now? If they can't get on down and they feel like they want to send something, generally, what do you suggest?
As to what to do?
Yeah.
Well, I think we can call on the government to actually do more to support South Africa's International Court of Justice case against Israel, the case of genocide against Palestinians. We can demand that the government impose sanctions on Israel and on its supporters.
Yeah.
We can ask them to change the visa application where young Israelis are allowed to come here for 2 years free of a visa and to work here. We can recognise the state of Palestine. That would be a really big thing to do. And we can increase the funding to UNRWA, which is really the only way of getting medical aid, fresh water and food into Palestine.
What's UNRWA? United Nations something?
Yeah, United... it's been the agency that's provided aid to Palestine ever since the 1960s.
Okay.
So it's a huge network of United Nations workers.
Yeah, there's what's the thing that the government's most likely to do out of that list? Do you think supporting South Africa sounds like something that's pretty hard to argue against? They have if they say something's a racist state, that they should know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That any of them would be really would be great, actually. Okay. But I think the situation in Palestine is really desperate, and it's getting aid in there. And right now, Israel has got Gaza totally sealed, so people are starving there. Children are starving in Palestine.
How, I mean, how do they grow? Can they grow food? And they must normally grow food, but it's been bombed to pieces.
It's been bombed, yeah. There's a lot of foraging that people are trying to do. I saw a video the other day of young people who are growing crops on their roof. But winter is coming. This is the and winter can be really cold in Palestine. I mean, it's by the sea.
It's continental. Oh, no, it's not. Well, it is part of a continent, isn't it? So
yeah, but it does get cold there in the winter. Yeah. And it can rain, and I mean, I think people have seen images of the camps with sewage. There's no sewage system anymore, and just water everywhere. And that's going to get worse over the next time. But now Gaza controls the Philadelphia corridor totally between Rafah and Egypt.
Who controls it?
Israel.
Israel controls it.
So there's no aid going through there at all.
What does Egypt think about this?
I don't know. I can't speak for that. You'd have to talk to the Egyptian ambassador.
The Egyptian ambassador.
Yeah.
I'm interviewing him next week. No.
It would be interesting. They've got very close ties with the US and also with Israel.
Okay. Yeah. So they're not going to want to do too much.
I can't really say very much.
And I think it sounds like, from what I've read, Israel would kind of like all the Palestinians just go somewhere else, and Egypt would be fine by them.
Yes. Yeah. The King of Jordan has made it very clear that the ethnic cleansing of Gaza is a red line that, you know, Israel cannot cross, and that Jordan is not prepared to take the 2 million Palestinians that live in Gaza.
No, well, that's quite a lot of people.
Yeah, a huge number. Yeah. I was reading the other day that in Lebanon they've got over 1 million Syrian refugees in Lebanon, and their population is 5 million. So, and I think that's something that people in New Zealand don't really understand, is the dislocation that the war in Syria, the war in Iraq, and now in Gaza has had on all of the countries in the Middle East, which are really, really stretched anyway. To incorporate all of those refugees.
Well, I guess we've had high immigration over the last sort of decade, and we have a housing crisis, so we have a very tiny look into what that's like, because we've got people living in cars and in strange places because we haven't got that right, and that's just like a 1% of what it must be like having 20% of your equivalent of your population turning up on your doorstep with nowhere to go. Yeah. Now, I was talking to someone the other day who didn't like it when I suggested that, like, I've read that Israel long-term, or the Zionist project, if you want to call it that, has designs on land outside of the current Israel border and outside of the current West Bank and Gaza Strip as well.
Yes.
So can you reference that or tell us about what that is?
Well, ever since the creation of Israel in 1948, they've been encroaching on Palestinian territory and also on Syrian territory with the Golan Heights. The Golan Heights is Syrian territory, and they've occupied that since, I think, the 1967 war.
So have they stated things, or is there like a written agenda, a manifesto or something?
Yeah, there is. I understand that the greater Israel project is to include part of, well, they've included part of Syria, all of Gaza, all of the Western, the occupied West Bank. And when Netanyahu was recently in front of a map of Israel and Palestine, he didn't even include the West Bank, they only just the small Gazan strip. So it was though the West Bank had already been incorporated into Israel. And they also want to take right to the Sinai Desert part of Egypt as well,
right
to the Nile.
Does anyone want that bit of desert? Like, How do you feel?
There are people living there now.
There are people living there. You're seeing, as you call it a desert, so you think maybe no one really cares.
No. It's a very vibrant community there. Bedouin people live there.
Right. So we'll stop thinking of it as that an empty desert.
Yeah, no, and it's also a big tourist resort, so all along there as well. There's coral reefs and it's a huge place where a lot of Europeans go there in the wintertime.
Okay. All right, so folks, we're talking to Gillian Marie about an event supporting Palestine this Sunday from 10 till 2 at the Old School. There's a film, there's authentic Palestinian food, merchandise. Where's the money going? That'll go
to medical aid. What we've done in the past is sent money via the Australian New Zealand medical aid to Palestine. And they send doctors and nurses and other medical staff to Gaza. They have done. And also medical aid goes directly into Gaza.
Mm. And what's the kind of latest that's happening that, like, in the last week or so?
The other thing I'd like to mention, Aaron, is that a local artist, Javier Mead, is providing us with two wonderful Palestinian paintings, and we're having a silent auction as a money raiser for Palestine.
Okay.
So the film is free. We just asked for a donation to cover our costs for the venue and we're looking for a projectionist who's got the training to help put that.
Okay.
To put that on. So if anyone out there, if they can contact Shona down at the Old School or Max, it would be really great. Yeah. We'll have it sorted by Sunday, but
if you're keen to do it now. I'll do it from 10 when Shona gets
and we finish it too, so that people can, we can clean up the place and then have it ready for the movies on Sunday afternoon.
Oh yeah, because there are movies this weekend.
Yes.
So this is like the fourth movie.
Yes.
In a way.
Yes.
But with a Q&A and food authentic Palestinian
and
food.
We will have information there for people to how to write to MPs and our own local MP as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did you want to talk about that? Have we talked about the latest of what's happening over
No,
there?
We haven't.
Really, have we? We've just got a bigger picture.
Well, it's really distressing. What can I say, really? 90% of Gazans have been displaced now since 7th of October within the last year, and many of those have been displaced several times. So the Israelis say this is a safe zone. They move there, and often that's bombed, and they have to move again. So there's constant movement of people, and with fewer and fewer personal possessions as well. Latest stats are that more than 50,000 children are suffering from acute malnutrition, and over 41,700 Gazans have been killed. And that's only the number of people who've been physically buried. The Lancet came out in July and figured that the toll was more like 180,000, because there are so many thousands of people that are under the rubble and haven't been able to. They've got no heavy equipment to get these huge blocks of concrete,
right?
Which
so that's
concertina their, down on, yeah. on people.
So that's their best estimate.
Lancet, yeah.
The academics can,
yeah,
can,
yeah, come so, up with 186,000. Yeah.
And how many? What was the population of Gaza?
It was 2.2 million in October the 6th, a year ago.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's hard work to get rid of 2 million people. Clearly,
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a very banal way of putting it, but
you starve them out. You there's no medical care. Most of the hospitals aren't functioning. They've got no electricity. Generators have stopped. So newborn babies that are in incubators are dying because they're not getting cared for.
The traumatic scar that this leaves on a population is just going to be profound.
Absolutely. I have nightmares about those kids who for over a year now have experienced constant bombing, drones overhead, sonic bombs, sonic sound. That's all that they've experienced for the last year. And what that does to the psyche of those kids is just horrific.
Yeah, and the irony is that this is the traumatic scar that would have affected the Jewish people during World War II,
yeah,
who'd had tried to survive within Germany and managed to survive,
yeah,
in that time.
Well, I grew up with a lot of images of the Holocaust and of the Warsaw Ghetto and the resistance in the Warsaw Ghetto, and a lot of the images that I see now in Gaza are so reminiscent of those same images that happened in Warsaw.
Yeah. Yeah, there's lots to think about there. So, this event, Sunday, 10 o'clock, Old School.
Yes.
And what were you saying before, if people want to learn more something, we've established that our media in New Zealand is just naively repeating the Israeli government's press releases, I guess.
Yes.
So where can people go to get an alternative picture, at least to make a comparison?
The Palestine Solidarity Network, Aotearoa, has a lot of really, really good information on it.
Yeah.
John Minto is the chair of that organisation, and they oversee a whole lot of they just connect groups throughout the country. And there are an incredible number of support Palestine groups now throughout New Zealand that are doing weekly actions. Mm. There's two groups in Hamilton that are doing Saturday actions.
Right.
And there's a 12-kilometre walk on Saturday in Hamilton to support Palestine. So that's one source. And I think a really good source is Al Jazeera. They're not allowed – their offices have been closed down in Israel and now in the West Bank of Palestine. And what they've done is they talk to Palestinians themselves. So Palestinians are becoming their own journalists of their own story.
Yeah.
And they have a huge range of experts that they have on their panels as well. And as I said, that's on Freeview. And there's the Boycott, Divest and Sanctions web page, and they have a lot of information as well.
Yeah, last time we talked, someone sent me a message and tried to hook me up with an interview with, was it somebody called Pathfinder, an ethical investment place, but I couldn't get that interview to happen. So
right.
Yeah. But it's just a reference to Kiwi Bank. There are, and you'll have info about that, I presume.
I haven't actually got info on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll quickly, I'm just going to type these words into the computer and see if,
I know more about the superannuation scheme than the...
Because that's the one you're on. So all I know is that a listener messaged me in Pathfinder. They're all about ethical investments, and they do have stuff on KiwiSaver as well. So that's real basic, and they have a position. I think they've stated their position on what's happening in Israel and Palestine at the moment.
Right.
So people understand where they're coming from.
There's also a national movement to not buy Obella products, which is an Israeli company.
What's Obella? I don't know if I've heard of it. Obviously, I'm not buying their stuff if I don't know who Obella is. But
Obella, they make hummus and other dips.
Yeah.
And it's if you look, read the packet, in our supermarkets here in Raglan, we have it here.
Yeah.
And I encourage people to go in and say, please don't stock this product. The hummus that we get here is made in Australia, but it's made by a company whose parent company is the second largest food company in Israel.
Right. Okay. So the profits are going back there.
And yeah.
Okay. All right, Gillian.
Yep.
Thank you for coming in this morning. Was that everything you wanted, or is there some crucial last minute?
No, just come along to the Old School. Everyone is welcome between 10 and 2 on Sunday, and I can really vouch for the Palestinian food.
Yeah.
It's Dima makes fantastic food.
Worth it for the food alone.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I think it's really important to show our support for Palestinians, and particularly at this time, which is a year since the present reoccupation of Gaza, because this is not the first time Gaza has been occupied by Israel.
All right, Gillian, thanks for coming in.